Hi, I'm Lauren Klass-Schneider with Class Notes for Broadway Radio. I'm here with Connor McNeil, a cast member from The Ferryman, playing on Broadway at the Jacobs Theater. Welcome.
Hi, Lauren. How's it going?
It's great. Thank you. I think I have to say out loud, I am going to be giddy with the sound of your accent.
Brilliant.
Bear with me.
No worries.
Let's dive right in and talk about the fact that The Ferryman is set in Northern Ireland, the conflict known as the Troubles. And it tells the story of a family of a former IRA activist living in the farmhouse in 1981, preparing for the annual harvest. A visitor comes to town that changes lives forever. Talk about being a family member in this family, in the farmhouse, as this epic story unfolds.
It's interesting, actually, because I played Diarmaid Corcoran, who's a cousin, who lives in the city. He lives in Derry City. And the city is much more, I suppose, politically galvanized and a bit more war-torn than where the Carnies live. And so we kind of bring that energy in with us because they're in the middle of the countryside. So we have that element to it. And when we arrive, we obviously stumble in the middle of this sort of revelation that happens. And these men who we recognize from the city come down into the farmhouse, which is quite jarring to us, and everything kind of gets turned on its head, I suppose, from something that starts as pretty much a very happy, quite loving family picture quickly begins to crumble.
Right. I've become fascinated with the relationship that the cousins have with each other and seeing that unfold as the play progresses. Talk a little bit about more of the difference between the city cousins and the farmer cousins.
I suppose, you know, they're growing up in a house that is, Quinn, the father, is incredibly protective of them, in particular with politics, and politics seems to be something that he tries to keep at bay as much as possible, as we're very much feels on the page that the Corcoran boys, myself and Tom Glen Carney and Michael MacArthur, who plays Declan, that we are very much in the midst of it, and it's on our streets, you know, our houses are being raided, there's people being shot dead on the streets, and it's very much in our face. Much more so than it is with the other boys in the Carney house and the girls as well. Being, I suppose, in the middle of the countryside, they're slightly more protected and a bit distant from it, even though they hear about it. But for us, it's very much a reality on our doorstep,
right.
Which creates, right, I suppose, a very different dynamic in personality and behaviour. And the boys are a little more rough and a little more conflicted and confused and angry and trying to figure out what's going on, like anybody would be living in that kind of environment, you know?
Yes, yes. Let's talk a little bit about playwright Jez Butterworth, who, of course, wrote this 3.5-hour masterpiece, and your relationship to it, having originated the role in the West End. Talk a little bit, please, about perhaps the first time you read the script and what your response was, as well as being in the rehearsal room early on.
Yeah, I mean, I my first introduction to this play is actually a little longer than that. It was kind of the summer. I think we started rehearsals in the February of 2017, and I had originally done a workshop reading of the play in the summer of 2016. And at that stage, there was literally one act. There was just one act. It was the first act. I remember at the time it being probably one of the most exciting, it was one of the most exciting first reads of anything, because we didn't get to read it until we were there. Nobody got sent the script, nobody got anything. It was in the room, we had to leave the script in the room, and it was being very, very much protected. But I remember being incredibly taken aback by the fact that Jez is an Englishman, and that he had an ear for our vernacular in a way like I'd never read before. You know, it was completely the rhythms, the colloquialisms. It was completely completely Irish, and specifically completely from the north, you know, from Ulster. And I found that really, like, thrilling and riveting that he had that ear and that capacity to write like that. And obviously the first act is very sort of joyous and bountiful with laughter and all of that sort of stuff, but you could sense from very early on that there was an impending kind of, I don't want to say doom isn't the word, but there was an underlying vibration of something much more darker and much more sinister. It was quite a thrilling, that first read through was really exciting. And then by the time we started rehearsals, we still actually hadn't got the end of the script. The very end came to us maybe week two or something like that. So it was always kind of a working process, and it was really thrilling to be involved in that, to see how it was growing and developing, and that was quite exciting. And it gave us as a cast, I suppose, a certain element of ownership, because you were there as part of, not that we were involved in the writing of it at all, we weren't, but you felt like, because you were seeing it grow day by day, you felt very involved in that sort of process, which was really exciting to be part of, you know, and to see how he works. So yeah, that was quite thrilling.
And how does he work?
Well, I don't know. You need to ask. Yes, he goes away and comes back with pieces of gold. I don't know. He'll come in and chat and leave. And you know, that, like, I don't know if that, because I never worked with him before, I don't know if that process is unique to the Ferryman, in the sense that there wasn't an ending. I'd say it probably was, to be honest. But I think he seems like a sponge nearly. He watches and reads, and he's so well read and versed as a man. You know, anything you talk about, he will have seen it or he will have read it. So he seems to just consume, and then go away and write. You know, he's incredibly knowledgeable. But yeah, and he's an incredibly fun person as well, and he loves humanity. You know, he really does. He loves people. He's a real people person, and I suppose that affects his, that's why his characters are so real. That's why the language is so real. You know, but yeah.
Yeah. And you said that it was only the first act. And my recollection is that your role, as it's written now, doesn't
joins in the
act.
Second act. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. No, the very first read-through, everybody was reading different roles and stuff. It was very much to hear it out loud. And then by the time we got to actual rehearsals, like the proper rehearsals with Sam, like going into rehearsals for the Royal Court run, we had two and three quarters of an act. We just didn't have the very end piece as to what the conclusion was. So by the time we got in rehearsals, no, that was fully written and ready. It was the very early workshops in 2016 I was talking about there when I first read.
Right.
Read it. But yeah, so yeah, by the time we were in, no, there was a full script, just it was the ending, which we developed throughout that, or which he developed throughout that.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Sam, of course, Sam Mendes, the director.
Mm-hmm.
Have you and Sam worked together before?
No, that was the very first time. So that was very exciting, because I'm a huge fan. And I have a great amount of respect for him. But so that was really thrilling to be in a room with him, and he's a master. He really, really is. And I've loved all my directors I've worked with, but he is definitely he's definitely at the top of the list. He's one of the most kind and intelligent human beings I've ever come across, and it was a real privilege to work with him, to be honest. And he's incredibly generous and patient, and he really, really cares about the work, which is all that matters, really, you know. So that, and I think that shines. I think that comes across massively.
Right. The Ferryman, directed by Sam Mendes, had a year-long, thrice-extended run in London. The rehearsal process all the way through, thinking about a limited run that would get extended and extended, for you as an actor in this piece, owning this character in the story, what was it like to be on that extended journey?
It was interesting. We I extended for the second cast. So some cast changed, not a lot. Some cast changed though. And that was interesting. But the thing that is kind of brilliant about being an Irish actor is the community is incredibly tight-knit and we all kind of know each other. So when the new cast joined, a lot of them, we had all worked with each other before. So there was an instant rapport. So it probably wasn't as difficult that changeover as it could have been. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because we all, like Sarah Green and myself, were on Broadway together and she took over from Laura. Who else joined? There was a few other actors I'd worked with, Mark Lambert, all of those guys. And then I left and it became an entirely new cast altogether for the further extension. Oh. Yeah, so that was, that was towards the end of, I suppose that was January last year maybe, that we left. But yeah, it was incredible. Look, the play's so brilliant. It was kind of, you're happy to be part of it, you know?
Right.
And it was doing so well that it was really thrilling to be part of that journey and to continue it. And it is a very strange thing to give up a part you've played because we get so attached to them, you know?
Well, we're glad you're doing it here again in the United States.
Sorry?
We're glad that you're doing it here again in the United States.
Oh, I'm delighted I'm doing it here, yeah, totally.
Now, the play itself, it delves deeply into how a nation's past has a chokehold in the present.
Mm-hmm.
How do you relate to that conceptually and as an actor?
In what sense do you mean? As with what I'm doing on stage or me as a person? Is that?
Yeah, and how different are they sometimes in this instance?
In this instance, I don't know. Look, this is something we all grew up with. You know, anybody who's Northern Irish on that stage and, you know, Southern Irish to the same degree, but if you're from the North and you're doing this play, that's part of your fibre, that's part of the molecules in your body. We were all grew up around it, no matter how affected we were or what area you lived in. It changed, not that it changed the landscape was different for us, it just was. And, you know, being uh-huh. someone from there, you carry that history with you. Whenever people meet you, whenever people learn that you're from there, that they instantly place something upon you because the history is so well known. So it has a huge impact on us. I suppose, from an actor's point of view of playing these characters, the thing was unraveling. You know, 1981, yes, the war had been raging for, you know, maybe 10 years at that point, but it was coming to its height, you know, and it was coming to a place where it was still, people were in the throes of it. So I always try to not think about the impact that it's having on the character because I think the character doesn't know the impact it's having on him. I just try to think about the emotional immediacy of the things that are said in the script. Do you know what I mean? Like when Tom's character is talking about myself and him being held in an alleyway at gunpoint, you know, I try to feel that viscerally instead of thinking about any sort of cerebral impact that it's having on him.
The New York Times states that the play conjures a cyclical nightmare of history from which no one escapes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sense with an American audience how it's resonating and why it feels so necessary in our current society?
Do you know what? I think there's something about this play that on the cover of it, this play looks like a play about family and it looks like a play that's about politics. And yes, it is about the cyclical nature of that, but what is at the heart of this play and what I think is resonating with not just the US audience, but with any audience across the world, is that it's a love story.
Uh-huh.
And that is what is at the core here. It's pure love and care and protection for your own. And I think that is what hooking audiences. As much as, you know, yes, the politics of it, I don't know how that's resonating with an American audience. I'm sure it is. And the outcome of war and conflict and the impacts of that, yeah, I'm sure people are resonating with that at the minute. But for me, it's the love story that is what gets people all over because that's what we all know. And that's why we can all, regardless of where you're from or what your background is, we can all identify with one another in that because it's a pure emotion, you know?
Indeed, and that's a perfect way to close is the description of the love story.
Yeah.
Connor, thank you.
Cheers, thank you so much. It was lovely to chat with you.
I'm Lauren Clash-Schneider with Connor McNeil from The Ferryman, playing on Broadway at the Jacobs Theater. Thank you.